Welcome to Leveraging the Laboratory, a Mayo Clinic Laboratories podcast for administrators, outreach managers, and laboratory professionals to learn how best to leverage and optimize the laboratory for patients, clients, and staff. I'm your host, Jane Hermanson, outreach manager at Mayo Clinic Laboratories. And joining me today, super excited, Dan Nelson. Dan's a contract employee for Mayo Clinic, and he is a laboratory connectivity expert extraordinaire. And the topic for today's discussion is, you might have guessed, information technology, IT, and specifically the role that information technology support plays in supporting a lab outreach program. And when I think about it, when you look at how the lab works, after all the science stuff is done in the laboratory, the useful information that's actually delivered to the provider is the test result. It's data, just pure and simple. Doesn't matter if it's the name of a bacterial organism, a number, it might be some interpretive information, but ultimately it's still data. And I've been around long enough in the industry, I still remember the days when we would get orders on paper requisitions and send hard copy reports, sometimes delivered by hand. Maybe they were delivered by mail, teleprinter, and if you were really fancy, you got to deliver it by fax. And certainly those options still exist, but clearly they're not preferred in the industry today. So Dan, let's talk about you and the work that you do. You talk with laboratories every day about their technology needs and challenges. So specific to an outreach program, what do you think the largest concerns are for the laboratories that you talk to?
Thanks, Jane. It's great to be part of the podcast. To answer your question, I believe the biggest concern that the outreach programs have is really being on a level playing field with the competitors, primarily the commercial labs. So to do that, one of the primary expectations that your customers will have is to have an interface to get their business. And that interface will ideally send orders to your lab, making your lab more efficient, but also more importantly, from your customer's point of view, getting your lab results and reports back into their EMR seamlessly. So maybe three issues I'll touch on right now related to this. The first is whether or not your IT team can help you implement and support those interfaces. The second issue is related, and that's really, do you have a middleware solution that has compliance and customer workflows built in that make your customer more efficient, as well as make your lab more efficient? And then the third issue is really the technology tools to build those interfaces and securely connect to the EMR so that you're HIPAA compliant and, you know, meet all of the requirements that we face today.
That's a lot. I'll just say that's a lot. So what we hear a lot today is an employed provider might be just totally plugged in to the enterprise medical record, and an independent provider has their own medical record separate from the hospital's EMR. What do you see the differences are between the employed provider model versus that independent model and their IT needs?
So I'll approach this answer in kind of a pros and cons point of view, starting with the employed provider. So the first pro for the provider is that the EMR is provided for them. And in that, they have access to the patient's entire medical record if they've gone to the emergency room, if they've been admitted, you know, in addition to all the lab work done for the patient in the clinic's setting. The second pro is that the employee provider doesn't need to worry about the EMR vendor contract or payments or all of that. It's all just part of that whole relationship they have. The con is that the larger EMRs that most hospital systems employ might not have specialty-specific features and functions for the provider. The next con is kind of related, because it's tough as an employed provider using that enterprise EMR to have services provided or to filter out services that don't relate to their practice. Everything's in that solution. From the perspective of the independent provider, it's kind of a reverse. You usually see those providers getting an EMR system that's very specific to their specialty practice. Although the list of EMRs in the marketplace is declining as there's vendor consolidation and things, there's still specialty-specific EMRs that are out there. And they contain a lot of convenient features for those specialties. The second pro is that with that independent EMR, it's easier to plug in to different services. From the lab's point of view, that might be a con because you're a little more competitive then. But one of the cons for the independent providers with their own EMR is that the patient's medical record is pretty limited to their activity in their clinic. You can import data. It's not as seamless and as easy as you'd hope. And the other con, although some of the physicians are quite technically savvy and enjoy this part, you have to manage that relationship with your EMR vendor.
So I think you hit something that I really hadn't thought too much about, but that independent physician with their separate EMR, there's absolutely no integration into the hospital, and especially an outreach lab that's doing the testing, that information would be integrated because the lab holds that data. If that physician is using a non-hospital lab, that data is not there. So it just lives totally in isolation.
That's absolutely right. And the best bridge to that are the regional health information networks that attempt to put the data or make it available. Sometimes that's a pull integration where providers can look up the right information in the RIO and then pull that information into their EMR. Mostly it's results only. So the lab's very motivated to get their own middleware solution because the efficiency for the lab is really about streamlining that order, you know, really enter the data once, provide everything the lab needs to do the test, and then get the specimen containers labeled and dropped off at the lab, ready to go. You can put them right on the instruments.
From the efficiency perspective, that's the key thing, right? To make sure that you have electronic orders, you're honoring what the provider ordered, you're not trying to squint at a piece of paper and discern that.
Absolutely right. And you can grow your outreach program with a middleware solution because of that efficiency. The alternative, of course, is to have more and more staff in your receiving area, opening up those bags, checking out how the specimens are labeled, and then entering those orders, as you mentioned. Yeah.
I think that's perhaps how it differs from those enterprise-wide systems compared to the independent standalone systems, because the enterprise systems seem to be a little bit more built for accepting batches of specimens and clearing orders. The registration information is already there, so it's cleaner, but it's certainly not a substitute. Have you seen anyone who has been able to, a non-affiliated practitioner, use the enterprise-wide system? And what are your feelings about that?
I have heard of health systems making that available. Once again, I think there's pros and cons and managing customers' expectations. That's different than, I think, managing an employed provider's expectations. So it's all part of the equation that goes into, you know, what tools do you have to keep that customer happy and provide that continuous quality service?
Sure. And to make it easy for them, right? They don't want to actually have to go to a piece of paper, order the test. They don't want to have to go to a different place and get their result back out again, scan it back in to their system. And all of these different options are just manual work. So what kinds of systems or connections are available out there for an independent EMR to connect to a hospital outreach program?
So at the simplest level, almost every health system has some sort of interface engine and can make the actual connection. A lot of the enterprise EHRs have portal capabilities, even for external clients. The challenge is really being able to manage that as the outreach lab, you know, manage it independently, to have those built-in features that do what you want. And that's really where the middleware vendors come in. A lot of the vendors have a combination of a physician portal and EMR integration capability, all built into one system. And then the other option that I mentioned would be leveraging that regional health information organization to get the connectivity to work for you because it's already in place.
Sure.
But that's has varying degrees of success.
So with a RIO, for example, now that's going to take all results, aggregate them all into a cloud, right? So it's not going to be able to tell the difference between this test was done at lab A, lab B, hospital A, hospital B. Does it just group everything together? I'm concerned just about like normal ranges and things like that getting all messed up because it might be a glucose, but the numbers might be slightly different just with normal ranges. Any thoughts on that?
So first I'll say, you know, it is a regulatory requirement to identify the lab that performed the test. There's not as much concern about looking at an individual report or an individual set of results and wondering where they came from. That's a requirement that be very clear. What is a concern is trending. So if you have a patient that's gone around to various places and through the Rio, all those results are aggregated and coming back, you're going to have a tougher time knowing accurately that you can compare last month's test with the test a year ago or the current test that you're looking at. So that trending, that longitudinal view, will take a little bit of work to make sure you're comparing apples to apples.
Right. And if you're not, and that could actually impact patient care. So if we think about a lab outreach of value story, the true value story is to say, if you have all your tests done in our laboratory, we're going to provide continuous quality continuous data stream because we're not going to be using different methodologies. It's not going to different labs. It's all done in the same place.
Absolutely right.
From the trending. Perfect. I like that idea. You talked about portals and interface engines and different little bits of technology. I've also heard about point-to-point interfaces. What is involved in that from the lab side and then also from the customer side? Well, and actually any interface at all, I would say, not just point-to-point, but any interfacing. What's involved on the client end?
So the customers are physicians that have either a full service package from a near EMR vendor, or they've installed an EMR package on their local computers, or maybe it's a cloud-based solution. What the challenge facing the lab is primarily, how do you get connected to that environment? You know, you really need to know if your team is making one connection at a time, and they're just going about that without a central strategy or a central enterprise kind of solution specific to outreach, then you're going to end up with kind of a spaghetti junction, right? You're going to get a large variety. Point-to-point interfaces don't translate the customer's data very well or at all. And so you're dealing with whatever the interface will drop off. It's one of the advantages that the middleware solutions provide. They provide that consistency of connecting to various customers and giving them the unique connection they need, but also having a central place then to compare that data, or sometimes I liken it to like the Rosetta Stone. You know, you've got all that data coming in. Each EMR has got different codes for the patient IDs, for the orderable tests, and you need that to come into your hospital system and your LIS in a very consistent manner in order to be efficient. And so that's what the better middleware solutions do.
So to actually take that physician office data, translate it to something that's meaningful for the hospital so that they combine. Do you see, so you talked about an interface into the LIS. Sometimes the registration actually has to happen at the HIS, the hospital information system, not at the lab level. Do interfaces also go to that level? So maybe you have an interface to the HIS and then an interface out of the lab back into the EM, into the physician office system. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's a staging problem as you're describing it, and you're absolutely right on target. So the better middleware solutions will bring the data in and trigger a certain event. Now, this starts to get into your hospital's support and trust of that external data. But there are solutions available to bridge that gap and say, well, if electronically we don't want to be bringing data directly into our registration or billing system, you can stage that data to be scrutinized and synchronized with the registration or an EMPI for patient identification. What the middleware will do is wait until that is clean and, you know, completed, then satisfying that lab's requirements and the billing department registration, et cetera, you can then bring the order into the lab electronically, waiting for the specimen to show up. But that's where the middleware vendors really kind of start to differentiate themselves, how well do they manage that staging?
Well, and I think trust is the key word there, because that enterprise medical record is empirical. It's the source of truth. So you don't just want unbidden orders and registrations to be showing up in your system, because you need to have control over that. So I totally appreciate that kind of that holding tank concept, if you will. That's awesome. Question for you, Dan, about just efficiency for staff. So you talked about the inbound errors making things more efficient. Obviously, the more orders and requisitions that come in, the more manual data entry. Have you found that an electronic interface inbound orders streamlines workflow for the laboratory? And what are kind of the main benefits there?
Absolutely. It's the dual factor of getting the data in electronically and not having to rekey it. It's the also then the translation or the validation of the data so that you know you've got everything you need and can bring that data in. And a good middleware system will have a built-in notification system. And that could be flexibly notifying your customer, hey, we just got your order, but we didn't get everything we need. It could be notifying a central team. Maybe it's your customer service team. They can work out inbox saying, you know, we've got this, but the lab's going to struggle to do the testing until X, Y, and Z additional information is provided. And so you really want that middleware kind of capability, once again, tailored to these unique lab workflows, because what you've done then is streamlined the process of quality data coming in prior to the specimens arriving. And if a bag of specimens is dropped off with a handwritten rec, you really have to be Sherlock Holmes there at the receiving desk to open that up and figure out what it is. And hopefully the label is still stuck on the right tube. And I wish I was kidding as that kind of scenario, but the middleware kind of solutions give you, the lab, the control to manage the labeling process or manage the workflow to direct the patients into your service center. And so all of those items are, once again, oriented at making your lab-related staff, whether it's service center or receiving staff or your techs processing and doing the analysis, you know, make them all more efficient, because if they have what they need cleanly and legibly and understandably, they're just going to do the test, and you go from, once again, not exaggerating, you know, between 10 and 15 minutes of playing Sherlock Holmes to down to less than a minute of just receiving the specimen, acknowledging the details, and putting the tube right on the instrument.
Absolutely. And what that does, then that creates some, I would say, capacity for your staff to take on more work. So I totally get it, and I love it. Dan, I think that you're new to this podcast, so you don't know that what I like to do, we're nearing the end of our time, but before we wrap, I like to ask just a couple of rapid fire questions. So I've got just three of them for you. One of them is, if you were an outreach leader, what three questions do you think an outreach leader should ask their customer about their electronic ordering and reporting needs?
So the first question is, you know, does that customer get good support from their EMR vendor? Because they'll need to run a project to hook up the EMR interface. There's testing, there's configuration. If the clinic is smaller, they're going to probably defer all that to the EMR vendor. So there's a real expectation management thing there. The second is asking your outreach customer if their EMR has good functionality for ordering lab tests. Because if they don't, there's probably going to be a lot of additional data that's going to be back and forth and might not make the efficiency happen that you're looking for. And then the last question I'd have them ask is, how easy is it for your customer to view lab results in the EMR vendor? It's more and more common now for middleware systems to send a copy of a PDF, preserving the lab's report format and branding, among other things, and embed that in the HL7 interface so that the report is, with the click of a button, able to just be popped up in front of the physician customer or practitioner using the EMR. And those are a real key differentiators for the EMR vendor's capabilities.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's look at the other side then. What should an outreach leader know about their own systems and capabilities in order to address their customer requests?
So the first one is what we already talked about, and that's how much do your patient registration and billing department staff trust data from external customers? If you're just getting going with an outreach program, you might start with a fewer number of steps automated. And then as everybody gets more comfortable with that outreach business and the success then provides more funds, you can then take the next logical steps for automating those things. The other important thing for outreach leaders is to know what advantages do your IT solution have over the commercial labs. So I've talked about the example of PDF results being imported into the EMR along with the discrete lab data because the physician customers will want both. And the last thing about your IT solution, whether it's your own IT group or a middleware vendor that you've selected, you know, how quickly do they resolve problems and what's their availability? And the last thing I'll leave you with is really about your own organization related to contracting with the customers. Is it a gentleman's handshake and you're off and running? Do you, on the other end of the spectrum, have to have a very legal type contract in place detailing, you know, specifically who's going to pay and how much and what are your support relationship, et cetera, et cetera?
And that's a 1 hour conversation for another day, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That legal piece. So those are fantastic things from the customer perspective. How responsive is their system? From the lab's perspective, how responsive and what are the trust issues within their own organization? Is there anything else that we should know that you and I haven't talked about yet today?
So the one item I guess I would leave you with is to consider how ready is your IT organization to support these external customers. This isn't like, you know, operating within the walls of your organization where people don't have a lot of choice. Those external outreach customers have a lot of choice, and they're going to exercise that if you don't provide the services that meet their expectation, whether it's the timeliness of implementing an interface or whether it's providing lab results in turnaround times that they're expecting.
Absolutely. I think that's a really, really good point. We're at the end of our time. Dan, thank you so much for sharing your vast experience with lab information technology and management. I hope that our Leveraging the Lab podcast audience has gained a better understanding of this very complex facet of lab outreach and hopefully know some of the best questions to ask in order to better meet customer needs related to IT. So thanks again, Dan.
Happy to do it. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you for listening to Leveraging the Laboratory, a podcast from Mayo Clinic Laboratories. If you've enjoyed our Leveraging the Laboratory podcast, please subscribe. And until next time, we encourage you to continue to promote your community-based hospital laboratory. The needs of the patient come first.